Hello, bruh. Hello, world. How's it going, guys? I know I've been gone for a while, but I'm back. Because my opinion means nothing. My opinion means nothing. I said my opinion means nothing. That's right, y'all. I'm back. Cut the music. Hello, and welcome to another episode of My Opinion Means Nothing. I know, guys, I've been away for a while. I think it's been like, 2 weeks or so? I'm so sorry about that, but unfortunately, in the UK, we've had like some mad like weather storms. Like, it's been crazy. Like, we had snow. Like, snow to the point where when you looked outside your window, it looked like another country. Like, it was crazy. So, like, it was hard to kind of meet up with my friends so I could do an episode. But I'm back. I wasn't gone. Like, I don't think, like, episode 11 was the last episode. It's not. I'm still here. I did contemplate, not gonna lie, contemplated structuring an episode, doing it all on my own and just releasing it. And I was just like, it's bare effort. It's easier when I have to, when I got something to bounce off. So anyway, now I've got that out of the way, without further ado, I would like to introduce to you guys at home, sat there, listening away and on your podcast platforms. My co-host this week is none other than Philippe Odion.
Hello, scrap, pat pat.
Welcome, man. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, man, I'm good. Thanks for having me again in your studio.
That's cool, man. Welcome. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoy it.
I enjoyed the, Mauritian flatbread that you made?
Yeah, man, Mauritian flatbread. Ferrata.
Yeah, the ferratas, yeah. You see, like, because Philippe is all executive in this bitch, he's got, like, his own studio where we record, and then there's, like, a green room where we have, like, food and game and, like, it's so crazy. It's like
PlayStation.
Yeah, man. You would think drinks. It was a house or something, but nah. Studio,
Studio and joint to the house. That's cool. It's a nice it's a nice setup. I like it, man.
I like the setup, man. But yeah, how are you doing, man?
The weather, man, has been crazy. Like, absolutely crazy. There's been so much snow about that it's been hard to do anything or get about anywhere or
I know exactly what you mean, although I have managed to get to work every single day this week.
How long has that taken you to?
I'm not gonna lie, like the first day of snow, like it took me. It
must have added journey time.
So I left my house at 8:45 and I got to work at 11 o'clock.
Wow.
But that was because, yeah.
That's time, man.
No, I don't know, but the reason was, like, my main bus stop that I wanted to get the bus from, yeah, like, me and a batch of people stood at the bus stop, and do you know, like, when the bus arrives, and, like a couple of people want to get off the bus, but the bus is packed.
There was no way you were getting on that bus.
Yeah, but, and the worst is, like, do you know when you look at the people on the bus, and you're just like, I want to be where you are, and they're looking back like, I'm sorry, guys, but
I'm in the warm, I'm in the shelter, I'm not iced up.
You know, it's not my fault as well. The bus driver has control of the doors, so he opened the back doors. A few people scurried out, and then he just like drove off. And then the next guy that pulled up,
he was just keeping himself warm.
Yeah, obviously. Next guy that pulled up drives up, and then he was just like straight, like he didn't stop. He just kept driving, and he just shook his head as he drove past. I was like, all right, cool. Nope. To the next bus stop. So I had to take an alternative route. But what had happened was, it was funny because I had to take that alternative route to work every single day because of the snow. And it turned out the alternative route was actually faster than my normal quick route to work.
So now you know you've got another route. Yeah. I bet you it's because everyone who had a car didn't want to drive.
Yeah, of course.
That was it.
One thing I didn't see a lot of was cyclists, because I walk a lot, so I usually see a lot of cyclists on the paths that I take, but there was no one.
No one was cycling in that weather. If you had skis, maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking that, like, maybe there's some sort of contraption that they attach to wheels for bikes that helps them cycle through the snow, but like kind of snow boots for cyclists.
There was a guy caught on video. I'm trying to find it, but he was walking through snow in London with skis on. just down his street. Did you see it?
I saw that.
I was like, that guy, he was like, I knew these skis that I bought in the car boot sale would come in handy.
I knew that one day in England it would snow like this and I would have time for this.
Did you hear Big Nasty on about a month ago on this morning talking about the snow?
Can I
put it? It's only a minute long.
Yeah, go on.
I'll just play it out for you because it's
shout funny. To Big Nasty.
This is your moment. Take it away. So I'm going to change the graphics for you. Just a little hint. It's cold and wintry, so take it away.
All right, boom. The streets of England. Hear what I'm trying to say to you, yeah? No one T-shirt business. It's cold. No Ross down there. See all down there? Blitzkrieg. Double up, double up, double up, double up. See you over there? Extra close. Wellies, Mudfest.
He's just pointing to the areas.
No say you're going to be getting bare mud in your yard. Edinburgh. Peak times.
But you understand it straight away, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're dealing with a 7 down
beat
there.
Around the bush.
So imagine Big Nasty was doing it in the fucking weather all the time.
It'd be great.
Ladies and kids dress warm. The flu is killing us. The flu is out here to get us. Yeah?
It's true, man.
So lem sip and warm clothes.
See, that's not just a weather report. That's like advice. Yeah. Daily advice.
Yeah, you're
spitting two bars.
Drop them. Because it's cold outside. Man, better know that it's cold outside.
Where's the hot
guy? Man's not hot. Man, better know it's cold outside.
I don't know if you heard about Big Nasty. Apparently, Channel...
I've heard so much about
But Big Channel 4, there's a show that's happening with on Channel 4 with Big Nasty and Mo the Comedian. That guy that... the couple of cans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that guy. So they're coming out with a show on Channel 4 with the
nice.
I don't know, co-hosting, I guess.
Big Nasty's smart with what he's doing. Like he's branching out in a way that like he's making it accessible and understandable to people, young people of today will understand what he's saying, what he's getting, and they'll be able to watch his stuff.
Yeah, it's because I don't know. Like it seems like the Pause old like not even that, but it's just like seems like the adults of today they don't understand the youth. And it's like, what, the only way they can get through to us is by putting, like, our idol on TV and getting them to put, like, I don't know, what is the word? Make the points that need to be talked about more important because Big Nasty's talking about it, so I should take interest in it.
Yeah, I should actually listen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Public speaking, celebrities is important.
But speaking of the news... I remember I was talking about this. There was this article I was reading today because I love reading the news because it's absolutely hilarious. So, like, this first article that I'll just introduce in this week's episode, really, the title reads like this: Brexit. Theresa May urges EU to buy into ambitious vision. So, basically, yeah, Theresa May has urged the EU to get on board with discussing with her, like, this ambitious but practical version of, like, the economic relations, so what's going to go down once the Brexit happens, basically.
Okay.
So they basically want some sort of deal that's good for the UK and also good for the EU as well. Like, so we can... So basically, I'm not going to bore you with all the information in the article, but the gist of it is basically Theresa May wants to cause, like, Theresa May wants the UK to have some sort of special deal with the EU that kind of basically, do you know, like, they wanted to have that that union thing that I was talking about before, I don't know if I was speaking about it with you, where they wanted to still have the free trading with the EU. So basically that's all in the article, the whole deal that they're trying to strike. They want, this is, Theresa May wants this free trading thing, tariff-free trading between the EU while we've left the EU. So basically what...
She wants to be in the EU without being in the EU. She wants all the benefits of being in the EU without being in the EU.
That's basically the deal. From what I'm reading the article, that's the deal that she basically wants to make with the EU.
Why would you accept that, though? If you were the EU, why would you be like, okay, this guy wants to leave,
yeah,
but he also wants to take all the good stuff.
It's like, okay, I'm part of this gang, yeah. And being part of this gang means I get all the smokes, all the alcohol, and all the bitches I want, right? So I'm just talking in terms, right? And, right, and then, so I decided, it comes to this day, I was just like, do you know what? I found this girl, I've fallen in love with her, and I want to leave the crew, but I still want all the smokes and all the drinks. But no hard feelings, though. Like, we can still leave on good terms, and I'll just go over here with my girl. I won't partake in any of the killing or whatever the gang used to do before. I'm not down with that anymore. It's just me and my chick, but I still want the free smokes. Like, can I still get the free smokes and leave the gang? Is that cool? And just live happily with my girl? Come on.
It's like me being joined PlayStation Plus, yeah? So I get my free games every month. And then one year I decide, I don't want to have to pay £50 a year for my subscription.
Oh,
it's worked out. So that's what it's gone up to now. So fuck that. Do you know what? I'm just going to duck out. But I expect Sony and PlayStation Network to be sending me my free games still.
Every month. You know them ones there. Obviously, I don't...
That's what it is.
I want to leave my Amazon Prime subscription, but I still want Amazon Video.
I don't want to pay for Netflix no more, but I want the ability to watch all your shows.
Yeah, that's it. Like,
on your platform.
For like, free.
What?
I don't get it. Like, it's like...
I can't be bothered to go to the gym, or I can't be bothered to... But I want to look like that.
Yeah. Make it happen.
Make it happen now.
Without the workout process.
You don't get the benefits without the negative side.
No, like... you don't at all. But also, one thing that is... I don't know if a lot of people know about this, but it has been announced that Brexit will happen on the 29th of March 2019. So that's next year, guys. This time next year,
we got weeks left.
Kind of a month.
So if you plan on going abroad anywhere in the EU and you're from the UK, or if you're from the EU and you're planning to come to the UK, do it ASAP. Yeah. Do it before that time.
Do it before the 29th of March next year.
Because it's going to get harder.
That's when Brexit has happened.
If you want to move abroad, do it now.
The UK leaves.
Visas are going to be pain. Like... Students and stuff, that's going to be difficult as well.
Yeah.
Imagine all the EU students that want to study in the UK are going to have crazy fees, and all the students of the UK that want to study elsewhere in the EU, possibly.
Sorry, I was listening, but I was just reading this article again, right? She told, I think Andrew Marr, because she was talking to BBC about this. So she was talking to Andrew Marr from BBC, and she goes, where was it? It's just the thing that I was reading. It says, it's important to be straight with people that life would be different outside the EU. But she believes that both sides want the same thing. Well, want the same overall outcome. It is a vision that was ambitious, but was also practically based and therefore a credible vision. The EU themselves have said they want an ambitious and wide-ranged agreement with us in the future. If we look at our future predecessors, what does that word say? Prespectory? Future...
What?
Prosperity. Future prosperity. And in the other 24 countries, the right deal for us will be the right deal for them too.
So she's saying, like, for us to prosper in the future.
Yeah.
We've both got the same kind of...
ideas. But we're just not on the same page, so we need to part ways but have the same...
The right deal for the UK is the right deal for the EU as well. But...
What kind of political bullshit is that?
Teresa, what are you doing?
What is that?
Oh my god, why? Just how does she think she's gonna get away with that? EU aren't just. No matter what country, head of that state is gonna be like. Is she staying in the EU or not? That's all you wanna know.
You know?
If you're leaving, which you are next year, leave.
Yeah.
Trying to strike extra deals. But also,
it kind of brings the thing, like, if any other country now wants to leave the EU after the UK, which I think some other countries kind of do, because UK might start a president, and people might, the EU might disband.
It might be a new...
new trend, isn't it?
No, not even that. A new, like, continent, almost. Yeah. It won't be the continent of Europe anymore. Yeah. There'll be a small few countries that are Europe, and the rest will be the continent of the UK.
Ayo.
You join the United Kingdoms. It becomes the United Kingdoms.
Ayo, we get our empire back.
Kind of. Because that's what it will turn into. If people start joining, like, Theresa May's movement and Theresa May's ideals, and people start jumping out, they're going to join her group. Maybe not even her group, but the group that the UK have started,
Brexit,
a wave,
yeah,
and it will just be that there'll be just another Europe,
yeah,
just trading between each other.
Yes, yeah, it's gonna turn dumb, to be honest. But like,
what's the point?
Yeah.
Just go back in the circle and just go back. But that's she'll want to leave. They'll want to leave that.
But every country is gonna want this special deal. Like every country that goes to leave after the UK is gonna be like, so what? You want to give us this deal, but. What about that deal you gave to the UK?
Yeah.
What about that free tariff trading? I want that too.
Oh, they were the first. They were first. So
what's this bullshit about? They were the first. It'll be arms. It'll be madness. But the thing that made me laugh the most, the first part was where she said it's important to be straight with people that life would be different outside of the EU. Well, you should have explained that to us before we had the vote.
It's too late now. Whether it's a big change or not.
What, you're trying to calm us down now?
She's trying to flip it around, like, you guys gotta know.
We can't just go into this, like, I can't do things behind your back anymore, guys. Things get out of hand. What we need to do now is just put all cards on the table. Let you guys know what's going on. So we can kind of maybe... do this coalition thing with the public, kind of work out how to navigate the EU.
And then just calm the public down, and then does what she wants anyway.
You know.
Madness.
Hey man, conservative power.
She's a politician, man.
Politics, man. Politics are funny nowadays.
Boris Johnson.
Oh, I didn't even take the pictures, did I?
Boris Johnson for Prime Minister. Him and Donald Trump meet up together. It will be banter. I'm telling you.
I couldn't deal with that.
Oh my god.
That would be it.
It would be too funny. Them two.
Can you imagine Boris Johnson?
Boris Johnson met up with the President of the United States today.
And they had tea together. In Trump Tower.
God knows what other shit they'd get up to. Like in that tower, man. But
But moving on to the next thing that's going on in the world, I thought this is absolutely hilarious, right? So there were these students that recreated a few film posters,
mm-hmm.
but instead of having the white leads, they replaced them with black leads.
Okay.
So a teenager has spoken of his surprise at seeing his own face on movie posters at bus stops in South London, because that's what they did. They put it in, like, in bus stops around South London. It was just, like, these movie posters. Like, I'll show you. Go back to the article real quick.
Nice to see a photo.
But it's, like, where is it? Is it here? They had, like, they had, like, the in-betweeners. I can get it back. Oh no, it goes to Instagram or Twitter, wherever it is. Yeah, like in between us.
That's really funny.
And they had the Harry Potter.
Where did they just Photoshop this, or did they like take it from? Oh no, that's them.
Yeah,
that's it, the same guy.
Yeah.
So are these guys in the photo in on it?
Or they? Yeah. They. I think. Well, I'll go back to the article real quick. See, in South London, Sheedon Tekel was on her way to school when he saw his image in a mocked-up recreation of the poster of the Inbetweeners film. He had created the image as part of a project highlighting the lack of black roles in the media, but said they were only supposed to go online. what's this? Guerrilla advertisers had unbeknownst to him placed them around Brixton. The posters show black faces imposed as the lead roles and were recreated by Mr. Tekel, who founded the activism group Legally Black. That's brilliantly named. while at the Advocated Academy and his friends. They were founded online by the special patrol group, who put full size versions in advertising spaces at bus stops in the capital. The first I knew, this is an account from Sheedon Tekel. He says that the first I knew was when I saw a poster of myself at a bus stop, and it was quite overwhelming actually to see how the project can reach a wider audience. There was a study done in 2006 by the British film industry. Well, that doesn't say industry, that says institute. Showed that black actors were cast in 0.5% of all lead roles in British films released between 2006 and 2016. Wow. 0.5% all lead roles in British films, black or ethnic minority. But bruv, that's just British films, but still 0.5% of all lead roles in British films between 2006 and 2016 were black.
I do think there's more of another reason to that as well. Like,
I know, I'm pretty sure
enough like writers that were writing about those things for British films at that time. And or there weren't enough people funding it, or I don't think it was directly because people were like, this guy's black, I don't want him in my lead role.
Yeah, of course. It
was just how it,
just how the industry is, unfortunately.
But like, you could flip it on the other side and be like, what about the American film industry?
I don't know about that.
Because, like, I know there's been a number of films that have lead black actors in them.
Yeah, of course, but like, still, it's a small
percentage. But then again, if you think about how many films are released in the British film industry, there's a lot of really low-budget films.
That's true.
A hell of a lot of low-budget films.
There's more low-budget films that come out there.
Do you know what I mean? And
blockbuster films, rather.
And those films are often created by a group of friends or something like that, or whatever. So maybe it just means that people with an ethnic background, black or ethnic or whatever, need to just like get together and do more fucking like films British in people,
British specifically.
Because there are a hell of a lot of films that are like a low budget, like Attack the Block and shit like that, that actually
because of
what it was talking about and the people that was in it, it became more
big,
like kidulthood and adulthood became so big because it started small. In kidulthood, it was a low budget film.
I had no idea what kidulthood was like until adulthood came out, literally.
And they made it more because then they get the funding, they can prove themselves. But like, if more things like that was created, then but then if you look at the American film industry, that's bare.
Yeah,
like, I mean, Black Panther just came out. I mean, I think there was 0.5% white people in that film.
Like, I don't remember seeing a white.
Do you know what I'm saying? But they must have had one white guy because they had to tick that box.
There was. It was the villain.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Of course! Oh, yeah! Of course! Of all, yeah. Standard.
The like. Villain. Oh, was the white devil.
So I think like more. It just. It's kind of like a kick in the teeth to like us people who are ethnic and black, yeah. And we should be doing.
We more should be stuff doing more,
it,
like,
rather than us complaining about it. It's we should true. Be doing something about it, like
we should.
Like this guy, yeah. I'm not slating him at all because what he did is actually. Like,
he just done good. It for a project.
But he did it for a project, yeah. But then when he saw this, that's when he realized it could have reached a bigger thing. So if he thought that in the beginning,
yeah.
And he did that from the beginning, this group. Whatever group who did it, the special patrol group,
yeah,
who found him online,
yeah,
and put the full size versions
in the advertisement,
like bosses, they right? were the ones that did it
because they like, saw this and were like, wait, why is it just here?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So we like, yeah, you have the idea and you have the start point, but like
you need to put your ideas into
yeah
action.
And just do it, like even if it means he has to get together with a couple of friends and just be like, look guys, I've made these. What should we do with them? Do you know what I mean? And then eventually,
like sometimes, an idea
sparks, you just go with it.
Unfortunately, I say unfortunately, but sometimes you just have to take that risk.
Yeah, believe in it.
Believe in your idea enough yeah. that it will just fly, and even if it doesn't fly, you just learn from what took out your wings, and just regroup and plan again and make it. Now take another risk.
Yeah, and that's like. I think if you speak to people like Noel Clarke and that, like he wrote and directed Adulthood.
Yeah.
He would have taken it. He took a risk doing yeah. that, man. But it paid off, like in the end. And I bet if you ask him how many other risks he took that didn't work out, he'd be like, oh, I did better.
Yes, I'm sure like, he didn't just come up with Kiddo. He was just like, this is it.
He sunk all his money
and everything into that, and then he probably did, but I mean, like, that wasn't his only idea. I'm sure he had other things.
Yeah.
He was in fucking Doctor Who. Bang, bang. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, maybe he wasn't the lead role in Doctor Who, but he was in it. He had a main part in
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
but I think we're forgetting as well that the lead actor, the lead person, isn't always the best actor, the best person. Course.
Sometimes
no, like no offense to John Boyega's performance in Attack the Block, but I don't think he was the best actor in that film. But he was the main. He was the lead.
Yeah, of course.
Like, just because the lead is a black guy or an ethnic guy or girl, it doesn't mean that role is, you know, the greatest role. That actor is the greatest actor either, but. Even for someone to be a supporting, there are so many supporting actors and supporting roles that are just actors, like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? You're just like, ah, oh, that was sick. Like, just, I don't know what people's want to be the lead role, want to be the number one guy, but that number one guy ain't always the greatest.
Yeah, man. You do always remember number one, but like at the same time. Number two, number three, they put in work and you remember them just as much as in,
like Tony Stark ain't a black guy and Thor ain't a black guy, but there are ethnic and black guys in the Avengers team and the squad who are gonna have important fucking roles, man. Like,
the one thing I was upset about was like when Green Lantern came out, the Green Lantern I grew up with, no offense, to who played Green Lantern?
Ryan
Gosling, was it?
Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds? One of the Ryans. Ryan Reynolds played him. No offense to his performance. I thought it was a good film, but the Green Lantern I grew up to in the cartoons was this black guy. And they are going to remake the film.
Yeah,
and they're
going to
put
him
in, so I'm happy about that. But I was so upset. I was like, what is this? There's a white Green Lantern?
Yeah. I think it depends on what comics you read as well,
that's true.
Like what you grew up on. But I think they took a risk as well, like at that moment in time, there wasn't a black actor that stood out that could have just jumped in that role. I don't think. Like they could have put Will Smith. They could have done a Will Smith thing, but I don't think he was ready. He wasn't mature, like on that level yet. Like, I think Will Smith's gonna do great stuff. He's still got great roles. Like, when he played, was it Deadshot?
I haven't seen Suicide Squad, so I can't comment on it.
I was like, he did good.
And he played Hancock.
Like, Hancock, that had so much potential. And I think they're making a second one.
I hope so.
I think they are.
I hope so.
Because it was such a good concept and it was such a good idea. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, that was an American film. That had a lead black actor in it. Like, Will Smith again was a lead in the Netflix Bright series. Like, it's...
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying you're not. I'm just reading the facts from the studies.
It just shows that we need to, like, you know, as ethnic and black people who are British, we need to do more about it to be on the same level as the Americans and all the other countries.
Yeah, 100%.
Because we've got a mixed country.
So this teenager, Shadin Tekel, together with his friends Liv Francis Cornbert, who is 18, and 17-year-old Kofi Asante, and Belle Matos de Costa. De Costa. Reimaged posters for Titanic, Harry Potter, and Doctor Who. The point was to highlight the lack of authentic black roles in the media, said Mrs. Francis Cornbert. We're not saying you have to remake Harry Potter with black actors, but it highlights the lack of black roles that aren't athletes or drug dealers or the token black friend. Amelia Vinney, founder of the Advocacy Academy, which aims to get students involved in politics activism. That's the word I was looking for. Right, let's reread that sentence. Amelia Vinney, founder of Advocacy Academy, which aims to get students involved in political activism, said she was extremely proud of the group. The idea that a 17 or 18-year-old can get recognition for fighting for other people is really cool, she said. The posters were taken down after one day, but someone stole the Doctor Who poster, which...
This gives me hope. What?
So, yeah, man. I thought that was cool.
Oh, my God. The fact that someone stole it. Bro, whoever stole that... You are not like...
He was just like, yeah, I'm having that.
When she says, "Why that they aren't all, we aren't all athletes, drug dealers, or token black friend, but we are thieves who steal Doctor Who posters who's got a May on it."
It's always the way.
I think they did a good thing.
Yeah, like, it's amazing. Like, it's a great idea, and it's a great point that they're pointing on. That's not the words I wanted, but it's the words I found.
the words that came out, mate.
But yeah, so yeah, I thought that was cool. And the next article is that tens of thousands of starfish washed up on British beaches following an extreme change in temperature.
Starfish is for dinner tonight.
That is crazy. Look, here's the picture, man.
Jesus, that's a lot of starfish.
Yeah, man.
Why? What happened? It's got so cold.
So it says, obviously, thousands of dead starfish washed up on the British beaches following the beast from the east. The spectacular scenes in Ramsgate, Kent, was described as like the Armageddon by the wildlife enthusiast Laura Malcolm. I'm going to say that's your name. If it's not, I'm sorry. She is 47 years old. who took the photograph of that picture I showed you, she estimated that hundreds of thousands of starfish and other sea life were washed ashore this weekend following the spells of sub-zero temperatures. Lara travelled to the beach with her 5-year-old twins, Eddie and Bauer. Is that Bauer? B-E-A-U? Bauer? Beer? Bew? Bew? Bo? Oh.
Yeah, Eddie and Bo.
Eddie and Bo. My bad. And in a bizarre twist, they also discovered a pair of false teeth amongst the mass of dead wildlife. Huh. She said it was incredible. There were starfish as far as the eye could see. There were fish in there as well from and other sea urchins. I think someone found a lobster in there. Shit. And some false teeth. Fuck yeah. It was amazing. I live on the coast, but I spend most of my days and time in London. By the Thames. It was crazy. But there's all this conversation, but yeah.
That's a lot of stuff.
So yeah, it's just because of the change in temperature that caused all these wildlife to be washed on the shore on the beaches of Kent over the weekend.
She said, it's also said a few days ago she went down and found a lot of dead seagulls.
Oh, God.
Seemed to be quite a lot of dead birds.
Dead animals or dead sea life.
That's... Yeah, I think it's just because it's so cold, they just weren't prepared.
Well, no one was prepared. Like I was walking by some canals, and like there were certain sections of the canals that were frozen and certain sections that were not frozen. And I was just like, oh,
wow.
Let's peak. So, yeah, it was crazy. The temperature, it just progressively from the start of February just slowly got colder and colder, and then we reached the end and it was just like snowfall. Yeah, that's crazy. What I have next is, do you know how we were talking about the media and the craziness that goes on with black artists in America?
Yeah.
Following on from that, right, I found this article today. It's absolutely hilarious. Like, so basically, Jaden Smith, he reveals why he no longer hangs out with Kanye West and Drake. Like,
why?
So basically, he basically revealed that he no longer hangs out with Kanye West and Drake anymore because they say he's no longer cool with them after he released his own music.
Oh.
So basically, the 19-year-old musician discusses his relationship changes in an interview that he had with Complex, saying that he used to be on good terms with rappers and even Donald Glover, but everything recently changed. He said his relationship with Drake, Kanye, and Donald Glover has changed recently. He explained because he said he always felt like he was like the little homie.
Okay.
Yeah, before like he started having his big music and all blowing up and all this, they saw him like the little homie before that, and they allowed him in all the groups and everything like that, in all the circles. But now he's like a chart topper, and he said like his songs are stood next to them. They're like, I'm not really the little homie anymore, innit? So they're like, we don't want you to.
Oh, they don't want him around anymore.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. They're blocking him out of all the circles because now he's no longer. They don't see him as they before. They just saw him as the little homie.
Little guy who wasn't gonna really do much in the music industry. But...
Exactly. They were like, "Oh, you're just Will Smith's son. You're like, you got a couple. Like, you're doing your thing, but you're just a little homie. You're not gonna come up with us guys." And then suddenly he dropped the album, boom. He's like chart topping and stuff like that. And they're like, "Oh, what? You're running with us guys now? Oh, fuck!
Can't
really."
They thought, "Well, you can't really."
We
don't want to contend with, like, we don't want to have you contend with us. You've been chilling with us, hearing all our shit, doing all our stuff.
It says like, but it's peak, though, but it's fully peak. But he's saying it's not only just like the relationships with Kanye West and Drake and Donald Glover that's fucked up. Like, it's like he's getting the cold shoulder from quite a few people. Oh. It says it seems like you can't hang out. It says like it seems like you can't hang out with us anymore. We didn't know you were making an album. This whole time, we thought you were just like the little homie giving us. What? We thought you were just a little homie giving us free water and shit. You're not really cool with us anymore. That's what he said that they said to him. Oh. Yeah. Apparently his album Syrah was hard. His album was sick. But yeah, it reached, what does it say? It reached 24 on the Billboard's 200 charts. And that's his debut album. Sick. It's reached over 100 million streams on Spotify.
That they've
like
they underestimated him.
Pretty much. What they're saying pretty much, yeah.
They're just like, we didn't think you were gonna do this. We didn't think you were gonna make it. That's why we stuck you around.
Yeah, we thought you were just Will Smith's son, and we thought you were banter, and you were just gonna just run around and just be that celebrity kid or whatever. And then now he's popping like them, they're like, whoa, bro.
Taking on money.
That's what it seems like. That's crazy.
He's just, they should be congratulating. You know? And like, if they're truly his mates, they should have been like, yo,
well done. Well done, man. Like, I didn't think,
if you want to collaborate and do anything, let's do it.
Yeah, there was like, even a comment that I read on the article that said like, fuck, I bit my tongue. do you remember fucking Batman by Jaden Smith?
Yeah.
People were saying that Batman was basically Drake's Jumpman. Because the beats sound similar and the flow might be similar, yeah. But then that's like saying Drake's song I Get Lonely Too is basically TLC fan mail. Because it basically is. You know?
But also, if he's been hanging around with Drake and stuff like that, let's listen to the same stuff, they will have some things that, you know, he will have influences.
Yeah, so, like every artist does it, they influence it.
You can't. Until he's found his own complete, you know, sound.
Like, there's a complete flow. Industry of music that we listen to right now where every single song sounds exactly or pretty much similar, so we listen to a chart that bumps every song. And even the pop songs, and I don't mind it, I'm not complaining, but how can you block Jaden Smith for chart topping with you, man? Do you know how dumb that sounds? What?
So
we were friends before I was popping, but now I'm popping with you, man.
So why are those,
you don't want to be
so
my
why
voice.
Are those three still friends? Because they're all popping.
But they came up because they came up together as being artists. I don't know.
Then
like,
help
the young homie. Help the little homie that used to give you free water. Don't hate on man and cut him out of the circle.
Yeah. He's like, if anything, you should be like honored that he's wanting to roll on that level that you guys.
Yeah,
are
he didn't
want
to just be the little homie giving you free water.
He wants to be like you. He
wanted
to step up on that level.
Yeah, maybe he's still the little homie, but he wanted to be the little homie just like you. But he didn't want to be getting you free water. He wanted to be in the room with you chilling.
Yeah.
I don't get it, man. To me, it just sounds like the industry is like bitches. Like fucking hell. Guys
holding on to their title, holding on to whatever they got.
Young, he's 19. You guys might die tomorrow.
But that's not even that. It's all right though. When they move out, when they get older, who's the next generation?
That's what I mean. Like, you can't be knocking the young. Like, come on. Like, Jaden Smith is hard. Like, he's got bars, guys.
Yeah.
Like he's running the gorillas. Like, he's coming. To me, all that says to me is these other artists are scared, because that's the only reason why you lock someone out. Like, you've got that skill, and you're not, you don't want to roll with, we thought you were just, cuz, like, you can't be moving like that. What, you make music too? It's like, imagine, it's like, you chilling with your boys, and they're like, oh yeah, so I went to the studio for the other day. What were you doing in the studio, fam? Oh, I was just like, I was hearing all like Skepta, and I got inspired by the grime. You got inspired by the grime, yeah? Let me hear that track. Put that thing on it. He puts it on, yeah. He's like, this is you, yeah? He's bubbling along. And he's laughing the whole way around, and he'll cuss him out, and he'll be like, oh, that was dead. That was, what, do you know what? You should just quit now. But he's just hating the whole time. He's just like, do you know, that was, but the whole time when it ends, he's like, that was fire. I could never do anything like that. But let me just take that CD off your hands, because you know what? I think Tutu's next moment, my man's got the same beat, he's got the same track, same lyrics,
same bars,
same just bars. Same,
just different flow.
Different flow, and he's got the SBTV video, and he's like, what? What about you? I thought you said, you laughed at my bars.
Yeah. Well, it was my flow, innit? My flow that made that, but those bars make sense.
You know, that's crazy. That was a crazy article. I can't believe that. That's absolutely mad. But yeah, man. But next thing I heard was the Oscars are today.
Today?
Yeah, today. The 4th of March. Yeah. It's the 90th. Academy Awards. On a previous episode, I discussed the Oscars and crazy shit about the first ever, obviously, Key and Peele, but it's just Jordan Peele.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been nominated for Best Director for Get Out, Best Film, and he's like the first Black actor to be nominated for this award in like years. Like, not even that, he's like number five. He's the fifth Black director or something like that to be nominated for that award ever. And then there's a load of number of other women who are the first ever woman to be nominated. There's a woman, one woman who's the first ever woman to be nominated for Best Cinematographer or something like that. So it's crazy things like that, and this is the 90th award, you know, like that. But it's tonight, guys, and it's being presented by, once again, Jimmy Kimmel will be taking on presenter duties. Oh, Jimmy Kimmel. Cool.
Did it last year.
Yeah, from where again? But it starts at UK time, translates to 1 a.m., starts at UK, so obviously when you listen to this episode, it would have already happened. So I hope you enjoyed the Oscars. I'm going to hopefully watch it at 1 a.m. I'll find a stream and watch it, you know, legally,
see history happen.
Yeah, when I see that, go to bed like extremely late, ayo. Wake up in the a.m. go to sleep in the a.m. It's the life I'm living. But yeah. After that short snippet, I was going to do more about it, but it's like, I thought the Oscars is tonight, and I talk about what's going to happen and how, like, there was this whole article about where to watch it, and I was like, oh, that was cool, but episode's coming out on Thursday, so.
It will happen.
Anyway, speaking on entertainment, Batman Ninja, the English trailer has been released.
Yeah.
And the US release date has been revealed. Do you know what that is?
When is it?
The film is going to be released on digital on April the 24th and Blu-ray on May the 8th.
Nice.
So Warner Brothers has released the new English language trailer for the upcoming animated film Batman Ninja.
Yeah.
The film has voice casts including Roger Craig Smith, who you might recognize from the voices from the Batman Arkham Origins.
Oh, yeah.
As Batman. Sick. And Tony Hale. As the Joker, we have Gray Griffin, who you may recognize as Scooby-Doo.
No.
And as Catwoman in the cartoons. Tara Strong. Oh, sorry. Tara Strong plays Catwoman. Yeah. My bad. She is from Batman The Killing Joke. I'm not sure if that's...
Is that
a game or a cartoon?
That's a film.
A fart cartoon film or something like that. As Harley Quinn, we have Fred... Wait. No. Tara Strong plays Harley Quinn. So all these commas are confusing me. Tony Hale is the Joker. Grey Griffin is Catwoman. Right.
Who is Catwoman? Grey Griffin.
Grey Griffin, who is the voice of Scooby-Doo,
uh-huh.
is Catwoman. Tony Hale plays the Joker, who you might remember from Veep or Arrested Development. Fred Tatasciore is from Family Guy. And he plays Gorilla Grodd. Yuri Lowenthal from Ben 10 Omniverse. She plays Robin. It sounds like a female's name. It could be a guy, my bad. Robin. Adam Crodsdell. He's from Rain. He is Nightwing and Alfred. And Will Freddy. From Boy Meets World is Red Robin. Tommy Kenny from SpongeBob SquarePants is the Penguin. And Eric Boozer. And Eric Boozer from The Adventures of Puss in Boots is Two-Face. So yeah, Batman Ninja is an...
That's cool.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So it's like a Japanese set in Japan.
Yeah. Batman Ninja is... Wait, it says the...
Same animators.
Here's a synopsis. Here's the official synopsis for the film. Batman Ninja takes a journey across the ages as Gorilla Grodd... as Gorilla Grodd's time displacement machine transports many of Batman's worst enemies... to federal Japan, along with the Dark Knight and a few of his allies. The villains take over the formed of federal lords that rule the individual lands, with the Joker taking the lead among the warrior factions, as his traditional high-tech weaponry is including Catwoman and the extreme Bat family. And the extended Bat family to restore order to the land and return to the present day Gotham City.
That's cool.
Batman Ninja is rated PG 13 because of the violence in action.
It's kind of violent, yeah.
Do you want to watch the trailer?
Yeah.
All right, man. Here's the trailer. So it seems from the look of it, he just gets transported there like everyone else.
The Batmobile, the Batwing, the Batcycle, they've all been destroyed at the hands of the Joker. But I have my mind, my spirit, and all of you.
Chips. This is basically just Batman in Japan.
Yeah, and some Batman and his mates, mostly.
Yeah.
His enemies.
In Japan. That's sick.
But he hasn't got Batmobile on there.
So he's got no tech, but he just has to go back to the old school fighting, isn't it?
Yeah. He's gonna have ninja weapons
and shit. But that's what he's that's his origins anyway.
Yeah, look at
his armor.
He's got, like, yeah, Japanese armor and stuff. Some,
so he's going straight to digital, but still, I'm by that. On Blu-ray, on May.
Yeah, man.
But yeah. That's the trailer, man. That looks dope.
That's cool.
So look out for that. Batman Ninja release on digital on the 24th of April and on Blu-ray on May the 8th. So
May the 8th.
Make sure you get that, guys. And check out the trailer on YouTube. Also, another cool thing is because I've just recently started, I want to say reading, but I've just been listening to books. It just makes life so much easier. Everyone, like, if you have an Amazon Prime account, yeah, guys, I don't have advertisement for this, but it's just a straight promo. I got this the other day. If you want audiobooks, yeah, you get 3 months free of Audible on Amazon Prime. Just by having an Amazon Prime account. I did it the other day so I can listen to my Amazon audio books. And I got the Kindle. Oh, you also get like a month's free Kindle Unlimited as well at the moment with your Amazon Prime account. So take advantage, guys. And Amazon, if you're listening, I'm taking adverts. Because, you know, I looked on Amazon Prime the other day, like on the homepage, right? And it says, you've been a customer of us since 2008. And I was like, oh, cool. 10 years.
Quick maths.
But yeah, so I was on Audible and I've been looking through the books that I can listen to. I've been doing like the slide deal where there's certain books you can buy on Kindle and it comes with a like audio narration. So instead of buying the audiobook for 20 quid, you can buy the audiobook, get the fucking Kindle book of it for, I don't know, either free on your Kindle Unlimited or pay like $3.99 for it, and then pay like $3.99 for the audio instead of paying 20 quid for the whole thing. So that's what I've been doing. So I saw it and I was like, it's 20 quid, but it does, and the book doesn't have audio narration. And I was like, I'm gonna have to buy this. So I'm gonna wait until next month or this month at some point, whenever this month, my full month ends, so I can get that one credit. Because on my account on Audible, like, I get one credit every month, and that allows me to get one free book, basically, free audiobook every month. Now I'm gonna get that book. But anyway, it's because like audio is read by Will Wheaton from fucking Big Bang Theory, and it's going to be like, because I'm going on to talk about it, it's like it's going to be this new film that's coming out this year, March, it's on the fucking poster. But yeah, it's coming out this year and it's directed by Steven Spielberg.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so it's like kind of Back to the Future kind of 80s film theme from what I'm getting, but it's kind of based on technology and how it's basically, I guess, I read the brief synopsis, but then I was like, I can't buy this. But I guess it says it's called Ready Player One. I don't know if you've heard of it. But the film is kind of retro. It's definitely coming out in March. They're calling it the Retro Easter Egg. it's got kind of very 80s themes, like Back to the Future type things that you can kind of see from this picture here. Do you want to open up? This is like the lead character in one of the scenes in the film, I guess. But I want to read or listen to the book first before watching the film. I never get to do that often. And that's the poster.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of things about it. I think I've seen the trailer for it.
Yeah, 29th of March it comes out.
Yeah, it looks like a good film.
It does. So yeah, Ready Player One. It is kind of, it's written, the book, if anyone wants to check it out, is written by Ernest Cline. And yeah, man, it says Peter Shipper is the artist behind the sheet music, which pays homage to the work of Drew Struzan. Struzan crafted posters for Big Trouble in Little China, Blade Runner, Coming to America, and Back to the Future. Oh, so
Peter Shipper is the guy who made the poster. Cool, cool, cool. Actor Tay Sheridan. Sheridan is thrusting his fist in the air. Somewhat, I guess. No, that's in the poster. Yes, he is. Kind of like the Marty McFly Back to the Future type thing. But I guess they're just talking about it. It's set about... So basically, Sheridan plays Wade Watts, who is a young kid living in the year 2045. When civilization spends most of their time in a virtual reality world called the Oasis. Following his death, okay, the program's creator, James Hollenden, which is played by Mark Rylance, leaves behind an immense fortune for the first person to find the Easter egg hidden somewhere in the Oasis. Oh shit, that sounds sick. I'm definitely reading this book. It's harder than finding James Gunn's long lost Easter egg in The Guardian of the Galaxy. Wade could be the one to do it. Okay, cool. So Ready Player One poster. Oh, I don't really care for that. I've seen the poster. Have a look at the poster. But yeah, that's basically what the film's about. It's set in the future where civilization lives most of their lives in a virtual reality. Well, you mean like right now? So not much has changed then. They just call it Oasis now instead of the World Wide Web. Huh. It's pretty cool.
Like a virtual game.
Yeah, but I guess.
Well, VR headsets heading the way they are, man.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time.
So I guess what? So it'd be cool if I could upload my consciousness into some sort of virtual reality. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
Then I would never die, guys. And I would release a podcast every week. Last one I'll talk about, right, is The Walking Dead, because I found this great. So The Walking Dead outsold every single Marvel comic in January.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, like, basically, The Walking Dead's writer or creator, Robert Kirkman, is basically throwing down the gauntlet and letting everyone know that his comic book series is actually the king right now. Fuck Marvel, basically. So,
but how many people, compared to the Marvel fans, does Walking Dead fans have?
Oh, I don't know. I can't comment on that. But I know that Robert Kirkman, he tweeted on the 12th of February, "I tried to avoid bragging posts, but I just learned Walking Dead, one episode 175 outsold every single comic published by Marvel in January." Whew. That's especially nice because there's many out there told me that I was gonna crash and burn when I left 2008. Hashtag, this is not crashing and burning.
I don't watch it.
I haven't read a comic on it.
I'm just, all I can say is Marvel make movies, bro. You need to make movies now.
Yeah, man.
You need to make your own studios, Walking Dead studios, man. Yeah.
Bring out the game's coming out soon, but bring out a movie, man.
Yeah.
Bring out a couple movies. Do a spin-off to, like, I don't know, do a spin-off to your comic. I don't know if you can do that. Turn it into a
series.
A cartoon as well, yeah. Yeah, man. Like, yeah, man. Do a series. Like,
do a series where it's set in Japan.
Like, so what, your comics are out selling every Marvel. Marvel ain't just comics, man. Stan, like, you ain't making Stan Lee money. You ain't cameoing in your own movies.
You need to be that zombie that walks on the screen and just looks at the camera like everyone knows. Oh, that's you.
One more thing I need to do. I need to congratulate Stan Lee's cameo in Black Panther. It was so smooth.
I haven't seen it yet.
It was so smooth. I'm not even going to say it, but it was hard. It was just like he stepped in. I was like, oh, Stan Lee. And then the camera just panned over to the next scene. Jeez, it was so smooth. But yeah, Black Panther is a bad boy film. Everyone who hasn't seen it, get out there and watch it. Like, go put your sneakers on. And yeah, that's another joke from Black Panther. If you've seen Black Panther, you'll get it. Yeah.
And also, if I haven't seen Black Panther, but if you like it, Nike have gone together with Black Panther to create their own trainers. So
Ayo.
Buy that trainer. It looks dope as fuck. It's sexy.
PlayStation have their own trainer with Nike as well.
Nice.
Yeah, that looks hot.
And you gotta play it while wearing it. Speaking of PlayStation, I'm gonna be jumping on Fortnite in a sec.
So am I. As am I.
And time for, I guess, your outro.
Yeah, man. So guys, you know, it's been another week, another day, another dollar. I haven't spent any pennies today. Well, that's a lie. I had to buy myself food, right? Everyone's got to eat, everyone's got to drink, everyone's got to travel around London, around the UK, around the world, planes, cars, buses. But right now, this is the end. That's right, guys. You've come to the end of your journey, and if you haven't, so what?
You've come to the end of the podcast.
End of this episode. I've got more episodes coming out, guys. I'm going to record one on Thursday. That's right. Thursday when this episode drops, and you'll be like, whoa. You're calling another one? That's right, bitches. Another one. I'm going to keep this moving, shit. I got episodes lined up anyway. This might be the end. I might be losing my sanity. Might be a little bit crazy. But maybe that's why you love me, guys. Anyway. I'd like to say goodbye. You want to say anything, Philippe?
I'm good, man. You seem like you were on a flow. You were on like a roll. The ball was rolling. So yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for stepping into my studio.
Yeah, yeah.
And keeping it tidy and just like whatnot. We're going to jump into the green room.
Yeah, yeah. Play some Fortnite.
Play some Fortnite. We came third last time, so let's actually come first today.
Battle of Victory for a while.
Victory Royale, man. Let's do it.
Victory Royale, man.
Let's get lit.
Yeah, man. So, guys, sayonara. See you next week or next episode, whenever, whatever happens first. You know how I do. But, yeah. You do you and I be me and we'll do we. And this has been My Opinion Means Nothing.